Blog Talk Radio.
I have another song I want to share with you. The title of this song is Thank You for Mercy. And I don't know if a lot of us don't like to admit that we need mercy. You know, we like to make folks think we're always on the up and up. You know, always right with the Lord and we're really on it, you know. But all of us need mercy, church. The Bible says it's the best that we can do. It's like filthy rags to him, huh? At our very best, there's nothing but filthy rags. So in order to make it in, we gotta have mercy. Lord, I thank you for mercy. Thank you for mercy, Lord. All through the day. God bless you. Just a mercy.
Thank you for mercy. For love so deep. And for
in your loving care.
Thank you, Lord.
Through all the hard times, our burden you bear. And when we've drifted out of your way, with your tender mercy, you know what it does. You love to see it, Lord. We thank you.
Thank you for mercy, mercy.
And for love so dear.
For love so dear.
And for compassion.
Amen. Amen. Brother D, you out there, Brother D? Sister Mary must have got miscombobulated. I don't see her on here. Brother D, you there? She must have fell asleep
here,
or something.
I'm here.
Like you're here by yourself. You're here by yourself now, brother.
Amen, amen, amen. God is still able. We don't know where T is at right now. I see there's a dose of bad weather, brothers and sisters. Seems like it's going across the United States. Because my mom was sitting on the porch a few moments ago, and it just started pouring down rain for a hot minute, and now it's all stopped, but it's cloudy. Looking at the weather report, it's just not good. But we have to always be able to align ourselves with the word, and we should tell God, thank you. Thank him for the rain. We thank him for the sunshine. We should tell him, thank him for the rain. I don't know where the host of the show is at. I'm sure she'll be here shortly. But what we're going to do, in her absence, until she gets here, we're going to whisper with a prayer to the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Brother Debo.
Amen.
I done made it in. I'm so sorry. I had
Amen.
Company and I forgot. So
Amen.
I'm going to apologize
yes.
up front. Okay. Praise God, praise God. And I do apologize to each and every one that I'm running late today. I ask you to forgive me. I had an out-of-town family came, and I just messed around and got to talking, so I ask y'all to forgive me for that. First, I give honor to God, to his son, Jesus Christ, to each and every one here, name by name. I'm indeed glad to be here. I thank and I praise God for life, health, and strength. I thank and I praise God for being so good to me. Thank and I praise God for just everything, for you all, for everybody on the line. Brother Debo, thank you for being ready to take my, to keep everything going for me. I thank you. I always have my back, Brother Tim, Brother Dog. I do thank you all. So we're going to talk today, and I'm not sure how I'm going, but first, I want to talk about the shooting, mass shooting, and all of that.
Amen.
And I want to leave it where anyone have questions or anything they want to add, want to just say, I'm going to leave it open for that. So I don't even know if I'm going to go into what I was going to speak on today. But Brother Dawkins asked me if I would talk on this. And I'm going to talk, but I'm also going to leave it for whosoever have something they want to add, they want to know, to be able to speak on it, to, you know, to, you know, voice their opinion about it as well. Now, we all know it's getting to be such a big thing now. People seem to think it looked like, and I know it's not true to an extent, but people seem to think the way of life is to walk around and kill people.
Amen.
So, and it's getting bad. When I was looking at the school shooting, and I tell you, it's began to affect people in general. I went to my doctor today, and she walked in the door and started talking about that shooting in Texas. And praise the Lord, and like I told her, and I repeat, if they had never taken prayer out of school, all of this could have been avoided. Now, that woman who had caused them to take prayer out of school, of course, we know one of her sons ended up being a preacher. She's dead now. So why haven't they not made an effort to put prayer back in school? Because when prayer was in school, there might have been a few fistfights, hair pulling, but there were no deaths in school. Didn't anyone come to school with a gun? And if anybody came with a knife, by the time the teacher turned them loose, they wish they had never seen a knife. So there is nothing in school to stop this outbreak. Nobody want to pray. Nobody want to call on Jesus, because that would stop it. No matter what nobody say, because if you calling on God, you let God know right there, I got faith in you. I know you're going to take care of us. Because we did not have all this going on when we was in school. A lot of children have problems at home. And it affects them mentally. And they afraid to tell anybody so they don't get help. Then you got young men. It's mostly men. If it's in a women's, it's a very, 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 very few. Then you got mostly men that they go to school, they get bullied. They get bullied by the in crowd because they're not what the next person thinks they should be. So they get bullied so much that they begin to have animosity or hard feelings against the one that is bullying them. And a lot of times they are afraid to tell their parents. Sometimes they tell their parents and the parents doesn't do anything about it. They're afraid to go and tell someone else because they're scared to go to the teachers. For if go to the teachers and talk and the teacher bring it out, you know, then that is another problem. So all of this mess with them mentally. And that same thing with not only the schools, But with the shooting in department stores, the shooting in malls, somebody got an animosity against somebody. And it's not only just that, but it also can be racial. There are a lot of reasons for people to do this. Sometimes it's out of duress. They are so distressed. They have went through so much that it messed with them mentally. And the biggest thing is they don't have anyone to talk to, especially if you're an older parent. You don't want to talk to to your child about certain things because it's embarrassing. See, we got the older parent got to look past embarrassing and look at what's good for the child. So it's a little bit of everything. It's not just one or two things that's going wrong with the people, the children in school. It's a lot of things. They could be they could feel mistreated. They could feel like down and out. They could be on drugs. They could be alcoholics. There are a lot of things. And, you know, when you got something to help you, let's say, for instance, we're going to use the drug deal. If you're taking this drug, then you open up the avenue for Satan to talk to you and to convince you of anything. And you don't have the mind or what it takes to refute it or reject it. So in people, you also got people, they let people talk them into doing things. Okay, they had a problem at this store at the mall. Okay, so you're telling your so-called friend about it. So what your friend is doing is telling you, if I was you, I would do this. If I was you, I would go and I'd shoot them. If I was you, I'd go and I'd beat them. I'd go stab them. I'd this. But see, they're encouraging you to destroy your life while they're standing back like nothing has happened. So, and this all leads back to the fact that we have taken God out of everything. You got people that are traumatized from their childhood, and they might get a little older, but they always remember what they went through in their childhood. So it's just so much that's going on. And you have people now, you also have people that has had parental, their parents have committed suicide that has affected them mentally. You got people have been physically and sexually abused that has affected them mentally. You have people that has been neglected. Nobody want to have anything to do with you, not your family, nobody in the street. You feel neglected. You don't have anyone that you can turn to. People that are homeless, young people that's been kicked out in the street, and the parents never look back at them. Then you also have the domestic violence. You have so much that causes people mental distress. Then you have severe bullying. Even in your home, you can be bullied. So there are so many reasons, so many things that causes people to just flip. And I'm sure sometimes when they did this, sometimes they don't even realize it's done until after it's done. But the thing that the people neglect, just about everybody that has did this, that has went and killed somebody somehow or another, they have let somebody know about it. just like the young man that did the killing in Texas. He let his friend know he had all these guns, and he was laughing about it. But the friend didn't say nothing about it until after the young man had killed all these people. And if he had been a true friend, he would have took heed to something, to the warning, because he was given that warning. And it's very possible, had the friend understood or listened or paid more attention to what he was saying, he very possible, I'm not saying he would have, but he possibly could have stopped the shooting. Do anybody have anything they want to ask or add at this point?
Sister Marion.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that. I was just going to say that's the same thing, Sister Marion. Sometimes we don't understand why young girls throw their newborn baby in a garbage can and walk away. They've been telling people they need help. They were telling people that they were stressed out about it, but nobody really paid any attention to them. Then after the baby was gone, they, oh, she could have gave them to me. Well, I would have took them, and that ain't, we not paying attention to our loved ones and people around us that, you know, and you don't know when people are really stressing out, but we have the ability to reach them and help them. So I just wanted to throw that at you, and maybe you could comment on it. That, you know, I've seen and heard people say young girls just had the baby and put the baby in the dumpster. All they had to do
because
now
they're
is
rejected. They are rejected by their family, their friends. They can't go to anybody and talk to them. They kicked out of school. So they're rejected. They have nowhere to turn. If they would just, if just one person would take that person's hand and pray with them. See, we'll tell people a whole lot of junk and mess, but we don't want to tell them about Jesus. We don't want to tell them what God can do for them and what he will do for them if they would just believe. So all in all, with all the problems that is out there, Brother Tim, nobody want to bring God into the mix. It's
I was
going right
to ask
now,
you that. I was going to ask you if you could talk about, I was going to ask you, could you talk about that? Because it looks like the people, after the people get shot, now they want to turn to the psychologist and the psychiatrist and all that, but they don't want to turn to Jesus. It don't seem like they think that they got the answer. I don't know. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, I will, because people don't acknowledge God. They can't see God. A lot of them have not been told anything about God. Some of them have came out of a household that's full of drug addicts, full of prostitutes, full of abusers, and they've not learned anything about God. So the teachers and the aid workers, only thing they can tell you and the psychiatrists is what they have educationally. Their findings after it has been researched. But no one seemed to understand that if they would just turn to God, because see, the psychiatrist only knows so much, but if that psychiatrist turned to Jesus, Jesus would tell him how to bring that person out, how to help them, how to heal them, because it's just a, that's a mental disability. That's a mental pain. When you have mistreated somebody so badly, when they have put up with all this different type of abuse that mess with their mental ability. So if you mentally disturbed, if you mentally messed up, where are you going to turn? because Satan got control of your mind, and not once is Satan going to have you to turn to Jesus, and not once is Satan going to send you to somebody that might try to find out how to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that mistreated you and got you out in the street wandering around, prostituting around, laying on the sidewalk because you strung out on drugs. The person that got your ass there don't look back at you. But let me tell you something. What people got to understand, what people got to know, the things that you do to your brother and your sister, you're going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to answer to God. You're going to have to answer. So we need to continue to encourage people to seek God, to turn to this word. Because, and we often give this, every time something happened on this earth, we often give this because so much going on. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal the land. But we don't want to fall on our knees and call on Jesus. And we definitely don't want to call on him out in the street because somebody might see us. Somebody might hear us. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? We have no compassion. We have no sympathy. We have no empathy. We have no pity. So, oftentimes, Brother Dog asks us to pray for different things. In every prayer, we need to pray for the people of this world. We need to pray for these children. We need to pray for these teenagers because the only thing they know is how to dance and how to go out and party. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. They talk about their parents. They try to jump on their mothers and fathers. They need to know about Jesus. Because even if they don't want to hear it, if they done heard something, a little bit of something about God, something that they hear is going to stay with them forever. So people need to turn from their wicked ways, because all this mass killing, be it teenager, grown man, black or white, you got a lot of white people that is killing. You got a lot of black that is killing. Now, Brother Dog asked a question yesterday, why is it that the black man will get shot and the white man don't? Well, we have so much prejudice out there. It's like the white man thinks that the world is run by nobody but him. But the world is run by God no matter how they look at it. So the black, you send a white policeman, and you know, being in the precinct with all these people, in the police precinct, somebody know if one is prejudiced or not. But what they do, they ignore it. They just overlook it.
I agree with that. Yes, ma'am.
They just overlook it. And they let them out there. And they should not let them out there. Matter of fact, they should bring it to the head boss, and they should release that person, because that person is not in a mental state of mind there and try to police different people. different colors, different genres, different people. Your job is not to look at Brother Tim and say, well, that's a black man, so I'm going to shoot him. That's not your job. Your job is to look at Brother Tim and try to contain him, to keep him from doing anything, to keep him out of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to take him to the police station, take him. But you don't have to beat him. You don't have to beat him. So some of it is the people that is around you, the people you work for. So now I figure like this. If I see a young man, say, for instance, I'm the manager here, that is so prejudiced that I know if he got a chance, he would do something. Well, I would take it up higher and do what I can to get him fired simply because you're not in a state of mind to do your job. In your mind, the only thing you want to do is kill. So we need to pray more. We need to pray we don't know these people, but they need to be prayed for. We don't know them, but God knows them. We don't see them, but God sees them. So they need to be prayed for. So the only way all of this shooting and killing, raping, all of this kidnapping, because it's so much stuff going on out there. The only way it's going to stop is that we as a people, not only here in the United States, but around the world, but the United States seem to be getting most of this mess. But we as a people, rather than talk about it, we need to get on our knees and we need to pray. And when we pray, we need to pray sincerely and call on God so God can move. This is not a time for shape, form, or fashion. This is a time for sincerity. This is a time for us to sincerely talk to God and get on our knees and pray. Even that young man that did all of that killing, that young man need prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them is not mentally disturbed. Now, I'm not going to tell you a few of them is not, but all of them is not mentally disturbed. Some of them just want to do it because they don't like you. Some of them want to do it because I was in the store and I was talking to the manager and he looked down on me. Who do he think I am? So what do? They go home and get their gun and shoot up the store. Not only the manager, but the people who have did nothing to them. So we need to catch a hold to prayer. See, prayer changes things. So our Bible tell us to pray without ceasing. All through the day, when you're walking down the street and you see people, you look at it and you see a group of people, you see things, it's just sometimes your spirit will lead you to pray, even if you don't know what you're praying for. When you look at something and it just bothers you, pray for it. Our Bible tells us the fervent. Okay, I hear you. Our Bible tells us the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what that means? That means God hear you, and He's gonna answer you because you are righteous. The fervent prayer. Glory, hallelujah. When you're praying fervently, I mean, you're going to get down. You're going to get down and ugly with it. And you're going to sincerely pray to God because you want to reach Him. When you want to reach Him, Brother Tim, you're going to sincerely pray so that you can reach Him. Glory be to God. What was that next question, Brother Tim? Was that you?
I was going to say, yeah, but Sister Marion, but what if I don't pray like you and Brother D? I don't know what to really, how to talk to God. Maybe I don't pray like you guys, and it makes me nervous, or I feel uncomfortable speaking to God like that, because I don't know what to say. You know, I know what I, you know, so maybe people feel like that too.
And you know what? That's true. But you know what? You don't have to be pretty when you praying. You don't have to be wordy when you praying. You know what? If you don't know how to pray, you can say, Lord, have mercy. Don't you know God know what your Lord have mercy is? He know what you're asking him. But the fact that you said, Lord, have mercy. See, look at the sinner and the Pharisee that was praying. The Pharisee was praying so good, so beautiful, with nice words and everything, that the sinner had his head down on his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Glory be to God. And the one that was heard was the sinner, because his prayer was sincere. See, and we have a lot of people today that pray for show. They want people to see how well they pray. They pray for show. God is not concerned about you showing. He's not concerned about how well you sound. He's concerned about how sincere you are when you pray. He looks at your heart. Glory be to God. He don't care about you being able to have, because you got fancy words and you can say this and you can, God don't care nothing about that. He wants the sincerity of your heart. He wants the one that is righteous, that is trying to be righteous, the one that can pray fervently. And if you can't pray, if you don't have the words, you think you don't have the words, Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy.
Glory be to God. That's why sometimes when we pray, we moan, because we don't have the words.
Mm-hmm.
And God know what your moaning is all about. He know what you're asking.
Mama.
Amen, amen, amen. Okay, we still don't have any hands up. But
okay.
We need to. Go ahead.
I was about to say, you know, we find that, as you had stated earlier, when they took prayer out to school,
uh-oh,
it was already you're already having a hard time training up a child in the way you would have it to go. But when they took prayer, you know, you started losing it as a child right there. Kids today, I look at kids today, and I look at the grandparents, even the great-grandparents. I heard Tyler Perry say this before, and he said it as a joke. There's so much reality to it. Tyler Perry says you're 10, you're a mother. 16, you're a grandmother. 36, you're a big mama. And he said it as a joke, but it's true. So you had kids, and how can a kid raise a child? Then when your parents not in church, not around church, not about church, don't know how to spell the word Bible, they don't come out, give you the scripture themselves. See, a child is going to do more of what they see you do, more so than what you tell them to do. So when that child see you going to church, it makes that child want to go to church. And one thing I found out about church, the more you go, the more you enjoy. So it's like being lazy. If you're constantly, you know you got a job. You get up every day to go because you know you got to go. Well, if you start missing days, one day will lead to another. Until the next thing, you know, you don't have a job. Well, it's the same with a child. When you become lackadaisical with that child, then that child have its way, doing whatever it's big enough or not big enough to do, it become a repetitious thing for that child. Now the next thing you know, they're going out in the streets. And when they get out in the streets, now you've totally lost that child to the streets. When you lose a child to the streets, you're looking at murders. You're going to see one after another. I say this sometimes. And I've told kids, I've talked to kids sometimes, and I tell them, you all have a mindset now that says, it's okay if you kill me today. I come back tomorrow and kill you. They're like, they don't believe that there's no life after death until after the judgment, because they have no God in their heart, no God nowhere around them.
Amen. And see,
you lost. You just lost.
Also, that's going to fall back on the parent that didn't teach those children anything. When you was talking, Brother D, what I heard was, how can you raise a child without Jesus?
Without the Christ. Without the Christ.
Well, that's because so many feel that they don't fear God because they don't know God. They don't respect God because they never, what they consider, seeing God and hear people talking about it, because everybody around them are roughnecks, and they don't talk about God. They don't talk about the Lord Savior Jesus Christ giving his life and going to Calvary for us, and they don't talk. So they're not familiar with what we're talking about, and that's the hard part to get them to know, you know.
And see, when you know God, when you know Jesus, what you do when your child is growing up, you shield your child from certain things.
Amen.
You don't
Amen.
Let your child go out and be, if on this corner, nothing but pimps and prostitutes is on that corner, why would you let your child walk that way? Why? So we grew up, you shield your children. I shield my children from certain things. Even if they come home telling me something a friend said that was way out of order, you cannot have that person as a friend again, because that is not the way mama gonna raise you. So we have to shield children from certain things. I don't care if your brother, sister, auntie, or uncle. If you see your uncle is a wife beater, why would you let your child go and spend the night with them? So it's in every part of our life, we got to let God be our judge. We got to let God lead us. We got to let Jesus lead us. We got to turn our kids loose into God's hand, not to the street, but into God's hand. We have to get our children back to God so that they can grow up. Even if they go out in the street, they're going to come back, because you're going to teach them the word. You're going to teach them something about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You're going to teach them the word. And they'll know. So when they go out, see, when you know God, when you go out and you go to do wrong, he'll begin to nag at you. And you'll get to the point that you can't do it. You'll turn around and you'll go back home. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
So with all of this that's going on in the world today, brothers and sisters, we got to pray. We got to pray for those parents that went to that school and didn't know if their son or daughter was alive or dead. We got to pray for the parents that found their children was dead. We got to pray for the teachers that saw this and didn't know what to do. Because something like this, it's not going to happen today and gone tomorrow. That's going to stay on your mind for some time. Some people end up can't sleep behind it. Some people end up can't even go back to their job behind it. And this should not be. Now, the people need to get together in all these states and get prayer back in school while they still have a chance. Because when you turn your back on God, he'll turn his back on you. And the schools have turned their back on God.
But then they come back and they say, no, they come back. They do. And they say, well, I don't believe in God, and you are infringing on my beliefs. And but aren't they doing the same thing to our beliefs, Sister Mary? I mean,
you know what?
We believe.
I put a question to somebody like that when I was working at AT&T. They could let the other people play their music, their rock and roll and their hip hop and all their stuff. And as soon as I put my spiritual on, they didn't want to hear it. So I told the supervisor like this. I feel like if they can play their music, there is nothing wrong with me playing my spiritual because this is the music I listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what they did? Told everybody to turn off. That was fine and well with me. So I just stuck my earbud in my ear and turned around. Because you can't let them tell you that you can't have Jesus. You can't let Satan tell you that.
Well, he got so
just
many
like,
corrupted minds above, you know, like senators and you know, and what they call it, presidents and lawyers and businessmen and things like that are in high places. These people got a lot of power, and they come and say, well, I don't want you teaching my kid about no Jesus, and I don't want you telling my kids about some religion. I don't like, and then I don't know what happened to the Christians. They just let them take it out, and we didn't,
but
I don't know.
I'll tell you what happened to the Christians, Brother Tim.
I'm listening.
Them same ones that's trying to destroy God's people open their mouth and say, I'm a Christian.
Mm.
The same one. When you look at what happened on January 6th, all them KKKs and all them people that was against the Democrats, against the black people, all those people, then a few of them turn around and open their mouth and say, I'm a Christian. How can you be a Christian? Who are you praying to? It is not God. So a lot of them use God's name, but they really don't have no relationship with him.
Mama.
Because if you following God, Brother Tim, there is no way you're going to walk up to somebody and blow their brains out and turn around and say, I'm a Christian. I did this. I did God's will. It is not God's will that you should kill somebody. But some people think when they kill somebody, they done did the will of God. That's why we have to pray. And pray fervently. We have to pray.
They're just doing their own thing now.
They doing it. They listen to Satan. Satan putting this in their mind, and they're acting on
it. You know what, T? I'll say this. I'll say what the words say. The Bible said these things will come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
These things that we're seeing today that the Lord already spoke on, and this is why we say all the time, I hear you, myself, Brother Tim, this is why we try to stress the fact, how can you not believe in what thus said the Lord? Something that was written over 2,000 years ago is true today. He said, when you see these things coming to pass, he told man to know that the end is near. That
the end
mother
is near, exactly.
Daughter, father against son, brother against brother. These things are happening right now. You have all this killing, brother killing brother. It's happening right now.
Amen.
How can
and
you
know
that
all
he and his leader and not get together?
Amen. And see, all this that we're talking on today, believe it or not, it kind of coincides with what I'm gonna talk. I was going to talk about, and I'm just going to say a few things on it this week, because I was going to talk today on compassion. We've got to have compassion. Compassion is a sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or misfortune of others. And that simply means that we should be tenderhearted toward others. We should be sensitive. We should be affectionate. We should be affectionate to them that is in pain, the ones that is suffering. We should have a mind to help, even if we can't do anything but open our mouth and pray. We should have a mind to help. Now, excuse me. And even if your neighbor or someone you know that you and you can get to them, neighbor next door, even if you just go and sit with them, a lot of times when people are upset, when people are stressed, when people are going through stuff, they don't want to talk. But sometimes just your presence, without saying anything, you can let them know you're there. You, while you're sitting up there just being there for them, you can be whispering a word of prayer for them. So we got to go ahead.
I was going to say that sometimes they say to us, Sister Marion, that we are weak or that we watering it down, and they want to be tough and rough, and they don't want to hear about that being intimate. I don't want to hear about being nice and kind to people. You have to be mean and roughneck and tough guy, and people believe in, they follow those kind of people, and that's why you see all the cussing and fussing, because of that thing. They say what you're saying is nice, but that don't belong over here. You watering it down, and we don't want it watered down. We want it to stay tough. We want it to be rough. That's what they say.
Let your light so shine before man that man may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the only thing God gave me when you was talking, Brother Pam. Let your light so shine while they're cussing. Let your light so shine while they're talking about you. Let your light so shine before man that man may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We have to walk in the light. We have to walk so that man can see that we are servants of God. While they're cursing, you walk right on with your head up, praising your Father which is in heaven. We have to do that. 1 Peter 3:8-9 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for good or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are there unto called that ye should inherit a blessing. See, now Jesus showed compassion on everybody that came to him. Jesus did not look at you and say, well, you black, so I'm not going to heal you. Jesus didn't look at you and say, well, you're a white man, I'm not going to pray for you. Jesus didn't care who you was, what color you was. He didn't look at the outer. He looked at the inner. and he prayed for everybody. He showed compassion for everybody, and that is what he wants us to do. He wants us to show compassion. And I know all of us have looked on someone and pitied them. It's not, I know there have been people that you look on and you say, I feel so sorry for them. Then if we have that heart, we have the heart of Christ Jesus. That person we looked at it on and we pity and we feel sorry for, we need to pray for God to bless them. For whatever the predicament is, if it's a sickness, pray. See, people think that God cannot heal a situation that they think is impossible. Don't even know if the doctor can heal it. But let me tell you something. God can heal what the doctor can't heal. God knows that this sickness or this problem has befell you because he knows everything. He knows it was coming on you before you was even born. So let us stop thinking God cannot heal us, that God cannot do this, but let our faith talk for us. That's what the lady did that had the issue of blood. It was her faith that healed her. Her faith, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. It was her faith that heals her. And that's how we can be healed, to have faith in God first and then have faith in the person that's praying for us and let God work. Because he works by our faith. And then you look at the prodigal son. His father had compassion on him. And when he saw him coming back home, he saw him afar off, he ran and he hugged him. And he took his son in. We need to have compassion for each other that way. But we are too hard-hearted. It might make us look too soft. Why should we worry about that? My worry is I want to do it right so God can see my good work, so God can see I'm trying. I'm doing everything I can for him. So let us pray for this mass shooting deal. Let us pray for the parent that's killing their own child. I was reading that was today, I believe, the woman killed the child and stuffed him in the back of her car, was driving her down the street with the window broke out, and one of the lights was out, and the police stopped her, and he saw blood dripping from the car and found that dead baby. Let us pray for the mind of man. Glory be to God. We, instead of worrying about talking to about each other, let us kneel down and pray for the situation in this world. Let us pray for that man whose mind is so messed up, he want to go out and start killing people. The woman who's running in the park exercising, and the man, because his mother mistreated him or did him bad, he killed her for his mother. Let us pray for all this sickness. This is sin sick. We need to pray. And I mean pray sincerely.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Don't worry about what nobody think about you. Just pray for these people. It's so many things out there that we can pray for. And if we pray continuously, fervently. God can, they can, we can pray for God to get back in these schools and all this will stop happening. We can pray for people to go back to church. See, a lot of times people leave a church because that pastor done did them so wrong. And since they are so hurt, they don't want to go back. We need to pray for all of these situations. All of these situations. Glory be to God. And at this time, but first I'm going to hold for a minute and I'm going to see if anyone have any questions, any comments, anything you just want to say.
I say T is so bad out here now. I just, you know, I got a call today. It's Wednesday. Got a call Monday that an uncle of mine, was, my uncle through marriage, was washing his car. They walked up on him, put a pistol in, took his car. Fired the car less than 24 hours, all shattered, took his car to go do a drive-by. I was on the phone a little earlier today, right before we came on to air, and found out that there's a real famous restaurant here on the west side of Chicago called MacArthur. They sent me four and got shot over there. I think they ended up getting killed. This thing is, you know, every day it's like we're getting further and further away from Christ and allowing Satan to become more and more
Amen.
In our
take
hearts.
Control over our mind.
Yes, rest ruin the bind over our mind. It really is.
Amen. That's so true.
But you know,
we're going to pause just for a moment. We'll be right back. We're going to pause for a moment. I see little Emily's hand is up.
Oh, yes.
How are you today, Sister Emily? How are you today? Go ahead and speak.
Oh, I'm better now that I done heard all of that. I'm feeling great now.
Oh, praise God. Praise.
Amen.
I just want to say, first of all, that that was a beautiful message. And just going back to the whole compassion thing, you know, like I said last week, you know, people think it's cool to talk about people and to stab people in the back and just be cool to people. Like, that's what's in. And that's just, that's how they see it. Like, they don't want to change. They don't want to see it for how it is. They use their pain and they just stay that way, you know. But it goes back to, like y'all said, whenever they took Christ out of school, okay, well, their kids, their excuse is that they don't want their kids being taught that at school, but yet they can talk about transgender people. Like, what's the difference? Like, how can you, how is that okay, but talking about God isn't, you know? That's what I have for today.
Amen. But you know, that transgender person can change. It's not for us to talk about people. It's for us to pray for people. God is
right.
The judge. Jesus is going to judge us all. But we don't want to be judged with God saying that we spent all of our time on this earth belittling people, talking about people, mistreating people. We don't want God to say that. We don't want to miss heaven over something so trivial and unnecessary.
Amen.
We need to pray for everybody, no matter who they are or what.
Exactly.
Because, you know, God knows what's going on with each and every individual. And I'm not going to tell you once that that transgender person can't be saved. I'm not going to tell you that that gay person can't be saved. I'm not going to tell you that that person that's want to mistreat God's people can't be saved. Everyone can be saved because it's God's will that we all be saved and come to repentance. And who God saved, he saved. He said, I have compassion on whom I will, and I have mercy on whom I will.
My.
So rather than spend time talking about people, pray for them. God don't need our help with how a person need to be, should be, or what have you. We don't know what's on God's mind for that person. We just pray and keep going. Thank God. Love them, because it is God's will that we should love each other. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. So we should love. He said, you love because I am love. So we should love. Was that anything else to Emily? And thank you so much for what you said. I mean, what you, when you come, what you say, it means a lot. And we thank God for you.
That's all I got. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Sister Marion,
mm-hmm.
Brother D quoted something to me one time, and he said Daniel went upstairs and he said something about you ought to pray at least 3 times a day. Can you pray too much?
No, you can't pray too much. God want us to pray without ceasing. In other words,
mm-hmm.
Brother Tim, that don't mean get up in the morning, don't do nothing, but just pray. What that mean is you pray when you get up in the morning and throughout your day as the Spirit gives it to you, and you pray. You don't even have to open your mouth. Pray in your mind. God hears it all. But pray continuously throughout the day. Sometimes you can sit in your car. You can take your lunch and sit in your car. God give you that mind to pray. Open your mouth and pray. We can be walking down the street. Pray. I mean, you don't pray continuously, but pray continuously. Like, not all at one time, because you'll never get anything done. But pray often. Pray often, even if you don't say nothing once again, but Lord have mercy. Lord bless your people. Lord bless the children. It can be one or two words. It's a prayer. God hears you. Lord, sister so-and-so is sick. Bless her. I mean, it does not have to be a lot. It don't have to be a lot.
Is it conceited? Are you conceited or arrogant if you want to pray for yourself because you want God to bless you and you know, help you out, you know, and they, you know, we go to God when we have problems, but are we bugging him too much, or are we, you know, when we pray about our
there's head, no such thing, thing as there's no such thing as bugging God too much. He's all powerful. He's
mm-hmm.
all listening. He can listen to 1,000 prayers at one time, Brother Tim. And it's
like
not
that.
Arrogant.
Like that.
It's not arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not conceited. It's not selfish. God wants us to pray for others, but we also pray for ourselves. I'm going to tell you, Brother Tim, I can
mm-hmm.
be hurting, and I lay my hands, I anoint myself, lay my hands on myself and pray. And a lot of times when I do that, God heal me. And it's not being conceited. It's not being selfish, because I am never I. You have to pray for other people. I pray for other people all through the day when it comes to my mind. I know the situation on a lot of some people. I pray for them when it comes to my mind. So it's not just praying for yourself all the time, but don't forget to pray for yourself. God hears you. He hears you.
Wow,
so no,
that was plain. I like that. Thank you so much. Wow.
You are so welcome. But don't ever think that you're taking up God's time. God is too big for you to take up his time. Your little bit ain't nothing. It's nothing. God hears it. I tell you the truth. You can
mm-hmm.
have a 50,000 people praying, and God hear them all at one time. So don't think that one little person is a bother to God. We're not.
He proved it every day, though, they think.
That's right. The more we pray, the more we praise, the more he's excited.
The more we pray, yes, he is. He proved it every day. They don't even have to.
Amen. Amen.
Make the Lord feel something, D.
That's right. And when you pray and when you praising him, he feels something.
Because
that's what he like. That's what we're here for. Okay, so we see we don't have any other hands up. So right now, we're going to pray for Brother Jesse Blinding family. He have a lot going on in his family, and he also has death in his family. And this is not an easy time for him. It's not an easy time for that family. So we have to pray and ask God to take control, to give them peace. And in our praying for him, let us continue to lift Sister Emily up for prayer. Let us continue to lift Brother and Sister Fan up. Let us continue to pray for the world. Let us pray for prayer back in school. Pray for the people that don't know God for the pardon of their sin. Pray that they will be able to get in a position, a predicament, where they will hear God's word. They will learn about him. And they will learn to love him just like we do.
Sister Marion.
Yes.
I do have a prayer request. A lot of people might not know him, but his name's Fertrell. His sister died
two nights ago.
Fertrell.
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 Fertrell. Fertrell.
Fertrell.
Oh, Fertrell.
Yes, ma'am.
Fertrell. And you said his sister passed away.
Yeah, two nights ago, and she had two little boys, four and about to be four, and she was also pregnant. So I just want to lift that family up in prayers.
Okay. Okay, we will pray for Fertrell and his family as well. Glory be to God. And those babies, it's a hard time for that family as well.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
I was going to ask you, I said, would it be a good thing where it says, when you were saying with the last statement, I was going to say something about when it says we're absent from the body, we're present from with the Lord. So when those kind of things happen, we have to be right on this side before you think about going over there, you know, because when trying to be with God, you have to accept him, and it won't be no other way around it. So let's try to get it together on this side, you know, and it can be done. If we just choose to do it and we stick together, we can do it.
Amen. That's so true. And before we start praying, Brother D, I cut you off from saying something. Brother D, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. T, the phone was on me. You know, I talk so much, T. There's no telling what I was about to say. I talk so much anyway. I just thank God for the service. Thank God for Jesus. We just continue to pray for this world that we're in. Continue to pray for kids. Kids killing kids. We just gotta continue to pray. There's just no other answer. There's no answer but prayer. Prayer is the key, and God is the answer. So we're gonna have to keep praying.
Amen. Amen. So at this time, we're gonna pray for the ones that that we have a prayer request for. Glory be to God. And I ask
you all sincerely while we pray and pray with me so that God will, because it's needed. It's needed all over the world.
Yes.
Prayer is needed because people have turned their backs on God. And that's why so much going on. People need to turn and go back to their first love. And that first love is Jesus Christ. We need to go back.
That's what the word say. That's what the word say.
Jesus. Father God, right now in the name of your son, Jesus. Father God, I come to you, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I come to you, God, with a contrite heart, God. I come to you, Father God, asking you to bless the people on this earth from state to state to nation. Father God, we ask you to bless, Father God, these children, God, these young teenagers, dear God, that don't know you, not being taught, Father God. Father God, they've taken prayer out of school, Father God. Father God, we ask you to bless, Father God, that prayer would get back into the school, Father God. Father God, the legislator will put it back into school. They will recognize what's going on, how people are dying. And people are not just dying. They're getting killed for no apparent reason. Father God, we ask you to bless the mind of man. Glory be to God. Father God, bless the man, woman, boy, girl. Father God, bless that we'll learn to keep our minds stay on you, Jesus. Father God, and we ask you, God, to bless the blinding family, Brother Jesse and his family. Father God, there's so much going on. When you lose a loved one, it's hard on you, God. Father God, we ask you to give him peace, God. Give that family that peace, Father God. Father God, let them know, Father God, that everything is going to be all right. Let them know, Father God. Let them recognize and understand we're only here for a little while on this earth. We're seeking to go to our heavenly home, Father God. Father God, that I ask you to bless the people, these families, Father God, that they will be able to go through and they'll find that godly peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Father God, and we ask you to bless Entrell and his family. Father God, his sister who passed, and she have those children, God. Father God, I ask you to put your loving, protective arms around them, dear God. Father God, touch them, Father God. Father God, give them a place to live where they will be loved, Father God. Father God, and give that family so much peace and love that they'll come together and everybody, hallelujah, Jesus, will work as one and take care of those babies. Father God, and we ask you to continue to bless us to Emily, Father God. Father God, such a blessing to hear that she want to hear the word of God every time we come on. Father God, bless her. Give her strength, Father God. Father God, put your loving arms around and let her know you love her, God. Father God, and we know, Father God. Father God, everything is going to be all right with her, Father God.
Yes,
Father God, we ask you to bless brother and sister Fan today, Father God. Father God, strengthen them, Father God. Father God, you made them and you know all about them, Father God. Father God, I ask you to bless them. Bring them together as one in your name, Father God. Father God, we know without you, we cannot make it. Father God, we are nothing without you. Father God, we ask you to continue to bless the service, Father God, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Father God. Father God, continue, God, to bless Brother Dahl, Father God. Father God, for the heart that you have given him. Father God, he has such a compassionate heart, Father God. Father God, continue to bless it
strengthen him, Father God. Put your loving arms around him, Father God. Touch his body, save him, sanctify him, fill him with your precious Holy Ghost, Father God. And I should have touched him, Father God, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Father God, keep him covered in the blood of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for Brother D, Brother Tim, and all the listeners, Father God. Cover them in the blood of Jesus. Father God, give them that peace, Father God. Father God, bless them, Father God, to go ahead, Father God, and do your will in every place they go. Anoint them, Father God, to touch somebody, Father God. Oh, glory be to God, to save somebody's life, Father God. Father God, God, for when we are in the world, we are dead to Christ Jesus. But once we're in Christ Jesus, we are dead to the world. Father God, and this is the way we want to be, Father God, dead to the world and continue to live in you, God. Oh, glory be to God. Father God, just continue to bless, Father God. Bless in the White House, Father God, in the nursing home, in the hospital, God. Father God, bless your people, Father God. Bless the doctors, Father God. Give them what it takes mentally and physically to heal the people. The nurses, Father God, bless them, Father God. The ambulance driver, Father God. Bless the people that's trying, Father God, and not only that's trying, but Father God, bless them that they'll get to know you, God. Glory be to God. Father God, we know there is nothing you can't do. Father God, and I ask you, Father God, right now, as I lift my daughter Daya up to you, Father God, she's having problem with her eyes. The doctor says she's going to go blind, Father God, but in the name of Jesus, I will not accept it, Father God, because you said that we are healed. Jesus, you said by your stripes. Father God, you told us to ask in faith right now in the name of your son, Jesus. Father God, when she go back to the doctor, Father God, I'm looking for her and them to tell her something entirely different. Father God, because I know, Father God, that you can heal any disease, any problem, any sickness. There is nothing that you can't heal, and I'm claiming it, God, right now in the hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, glory, I'm claiming it, God, right now in the name of your son, Jesus, and I count it done right now, Father, in the name of your son, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Hey, glory. Father, we know you are healing, God. Thank you, God. We know you are God that gives us peace that sometimes we look around and don't even understand it ourselves. Father God, we know you are merciful God. You're a compassionate God. You're a loving God. Father God, in this prayer and all prayers, and I thank you, God, in the name of your son, Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
Be to God. Amen. And at this time, before I turn it over to hallelujah to Brother Dahl, be with us again on next Wednesday night. Glory be to God. We ask everybody to come out because every week we're going to have something exciting to talk about. And be Amen. With us on Tuesday Amen. Night. Glory be to God, our gospel hour, God. We ask you to be with us on Tuesday night, Father God. So come out and be blessed. Glory be
yes,
to God.
Yes, yes.
Every time we hear the word of God, let's look for that blessing. Hallelujah, because
yes.
we are blessed anytime we hear the word of God. So come out, be with us on Tuesday or Wednesday, same time, same station. Glory be to God. And we just thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for the listeners. God bless each and every one that have their ears open and hearing the word of God. We thank God for you. And at this time, we turn it back into the hands of Brother Dahl. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Glory. Hallelujah.
Maria Malafia. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God.
Concludes our ceremony for today. If it is final words, you got your mic is on, the mic open. So if you got any final words, go ahead and say them, Sister Mary, and we can transition over to the other side just in case they got something they want to say.
Amen, amen. Well, we'll just thank God for everything. I thank God for everybody that came out to listen today, and I just thank God for Jesus. Pray my strength in the Lord.
Amen. All right, Sister Marion, we appreciate you as always. We appreciate you taking out of your time, though. Even though he was a little late, Brother D was coming in there stumbling, but he was in there. He was rolling in there stumbling, but he was coming.
Amen. I thank God for him, and Brother Tim. They hanging there for me.
Oh yeah, most definitely. All right, Sister Marion, we appreciate you. Go ahead and hang up and get on out here, just in case these other guys got anything to say today. I'm gonna go check on them. If they don't, we'll close this thing down, cause. Hey, we done did what we had to do. And thank,
amen. Y'all be blessed. Have a good evening.
Yes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Always coming on, giving her input also.
Always.
Okay, Sister Mary, have a good one.
Okay,
right,
bye-bye.
All right, guys, if y'all got anything, hit the one button. Let's see what you got. If you don't, you know I'm down here at a remote location. I'll be going down to Alabama. That's still Alabama for y'all. They got something going on down there if y'all want to backstab or going on. Let me see what Emily going. Emily, you still out there, Emily? Emily? Lil' Em? She over there fixing a milkshake or something. Emily? She must be ain't paying attention. Okay. She on mute talking like Brother D or something. I don't know. Anyway, like the move going to be for this weekend is going to be still Alabama. They got some good stuff going on down there. Gonna have Salty B down there. They got Backstabber down there, Big Hector, Josh Lowe, current bad a week two times. With that being said, if anybody got nothing, hit the one, but if you got something, if you don't, I'm finna get out of here because I'm at the racetrack right now down here in Darlington, It's a little thin down there. Brother Fan, I see Brother Fan out there taking it easy out there. I didn't know his name was Jerry. Brother Fan, I've been knowing you all these years. I didn't know your name was Jerry. Your Sister Fan, she bust you out, Jerry. All right. See your Brother Kenny out there. Your Brother Kenny, they morning show boys might be already over there on the morning show doing something. But like I said, as of last week, they didn't do nothing last week. They don't want to talk about nothing this week. Guess what? All right. Kid, I don't know what the kid knows not be out there. And my man, what his name is? Wheelchair. But anyway, we'll be down in Steele, Alabama this week, guys. So if anybody in the area, man, they got some good racing down there Friday and Saturday, man. If you're looking for some good races, a handful of them get out. They get off. Well, TMR will get their groove back. Oh, Backstabber will be going in there with the Gravedigger. Backstabbing Gravedigger. That is not an easy task for Backstabber. But if Backstabber can pull it off, put it right back in the game. So with that being said, thank y'all for listening to the Gospel Hour, which y'all had yesterday. We had the Gospel Hour yesterday on the Tuesday show. Cowboy came in there with some real good questions, and I think maybe we need people like Cowboy to start hosting these kind of shows. But that being said, we're finna get on out here. Thank y'all for listening. God bless.